Welcome to Wednesday morning. It's Evan Bray, and great to have you along on what's going to be a beautiful day. It's hard to believe, and this is the time of year where you drive to work in the morning and you've got the heat on in your car because it's cold. It was like 3 degrees, I think, this morning at 5:30 when I'm coming to work. And then you get in your car at the end of the day and you're like, what the heck is the heat doing on? Because you need the air conditioner. It's going to be a beautiful day today heading into a good last part of this week, that's for sure. Well, we're going to open up some phone lines and text lines here to hear your thoughts on that meeting that we anticipated and followed closely yesterday between U.S. President Donald Trump and Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney. Do you think it went well? What's your overall take on it? So I have to admit, and just indulge me for a second on this, because going into that meeting, I couldn't help but continually picture the scene from the movie Love Actually. You know the movie Love Actually? So that's the scene where Hugh Grant, who plays the British Prime Minister, and Billy Bob Thornton, who plays the U.S. President, have a bit of a interaction as they're talking about the relationship between their two countries. It was long known, or at least it was kind of insinuated in the show, that the United States were continuing to take advantage of Britain. And so people were expecting the two would come out in front of the media and the British Prime Minister, Hugh Grant, would just capitulate again to U.S. being the strong ally that they were. And that's not exactly how it went.
Mr. President, has it been a good visit?
Very satisfactory indeed. We got what we came for. And our special relationship is still very special.
And Prime Minister?
I love that word, relationship. It covers all manner of sins, doesn't it? I fear that this has become a bad relationship. A relationship based on the President taking exactly what he wants and casually ignoring all those things that really matter to Britain. We may be a small country, but we're a great one too. The country of Shakespeare, Churchill, the Beatles, Sean Connery, Harry Potter, David Beckham's right foot, David Beckham's left foot. A friend who bullies us is no longer a friend. And since bullies only respond to strength, now onward, I will be prepared to be much stronger. And the President should be prepared for that.
Can you imagine if Mark Carney had tried to pull something like that off? Like that, talking about this relationship is about to change. Relationships are built on trust, and clearly we've lost trust. Canada has lots to be proud of. Anne Murray, Terry Fox, Wayne Gretzky's wraparound goals. You know, he could have really set the stage for something quite elaborate there. He didn't. 32 minutes, I believe, the interaction between the two that was publicly available. We carried it live here on our station. And of the 32 minutes, Trump talked for all but, what, 3.5, I think, is what Mark Carney got in there. However, to me, there was some wins. There was some positive things right from the moment they met. Many people analyzing the handshake. Trump is famous, apparently, for when he goes to shake your hand, he pulls you in as a power show of power and strength. Didn't happen there. Both kind of tapped each other on the shoulders and shook hands and then turned and faced the camera. Trump did his, you know, his famous fist in the air. Carney kind of replicated it. Looked kind of goofy, because I don't think Mark Carney normally does that, but looked kind of goofy that he did. In the room, I mean, Trump really set the stage saying that he likes Canada.
Regardless of anything, we're going to be friends with Canada. Canada is a very special place to me. I know so many people that live in Canada. My parents had relatives that lived in Canada, my mother in particular. And I love Canada. I have a lot of respect for the Canadians. Wayne Gretzky, I mean, how good, the great one.
Of course, he's got to go back to Wayne Gretzky. But in the talk, in the short time that Mark Carney did speak, he pushed back appropriately on a couple of things. He pushed back on the notion of the 51st state. He also respectfully disagreed, and some would say fact-checked, the U.S. president when he said, we don't need anything from Canada. We don't need any of your products. Mark Carney reminded him, we're your biggest customer. We do the trade we do, the over $1 trillion a year in trade, makes us very, very much reliant on one another in terms of a partnership. But it was all done respectfully, the way Carney pushed back on the 51st state, saying that, you know, Canada's not for sale, and talking about anyone that does work in real estate.
If I may, as you know, from real estate, there are some places that are never for sale.
That's true.
We're sitting in one right now, you know, Buckingham Palace, that you visited as well.
That's true.
Having met with the owners of Canada over the course of the campaign last several months, it's not for sale, won't be for sale ever. But the opportunity is in the partnership and what we can build together.
So, you know, got Trump's attention. He laughed. He said, that's true. When he talked about the White House is not for sale, Buckingham Palace is not for sale, and neither is Canada. So what do you think? Did he do enough? His body language, one assessment I would give is, I don't think Carney's a good poker player, because there was more than once where you could tell he was uncomfortable with what Donald Trump was saying, whether it was a nervous smile. He sighed. He took a deep sigh a couple times, clasped his hands. And there were a couple of times he wanted to talk, but clearly Donald Trump didn't open the door for that. And in fact, right at the end, wrapped the conversation up before Mark Carney could give any closing comments. But all in all, I didn't think it was bad, I will tell you. And I'm trying to take an objective approach to this. I'm not a person that was necessarily jumping up and down when Mark Carney was elected as Prime Minister of Canada. That aside, I want these talks to be productive. I want the tariffs gone. I want to renegotiate the Kuzma deal that's good for both Canada and the United States. And I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that yesterday was a show and a sign that we're going to get there. And I'd love to know what you think. 1-877-332-8255. We'll start with James in Saskatoon. Hey, James, thanks for calling in. What did you think of that meeting yesterday?
Well, Evan, you know, my observations and what I saw of the body language aspects of it, I really thought it was a meeting of peers, right? I thought that Trump really does see Mr. Carney as an equal. And so I think that only makes things easier for us to build a relationship. And I think it, you know, one could, if we look backwards a little bit, and we see what a petulant child our former prime minister was, and how he had this capacity always to try and want to lecture the rest of the world when he himself, who are you? You know, and that's the issue. So anyways, moving forward, what I saw was that there was times, like you played the clip about some homes not necessarily being for sale.
Right.
And I think Trump really took that as an intelligent answer, right?
He understood it. You could tell that. He involuntarily responded, yep, you're right. Yeah.
And then laughed as well, right? Yeah. It was a hearty chuckle. And then what I really bared witness to was a couple of times Trump actually, in a playful, if not positive manner, tapped Carney on the knee. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's a real sign of endearment, right? It's almost collegial in the sense like, one of your teammates would do after running a good play. So it really does, I think, put us in a positive light. It's one of those very strong signals that I think we can now have strong discussions that become fruitful, right? And so I think Canada was represented well with Dominic LeBlanc Melanie Joly, they did fine. I will say that when the reporters were in the room, I thought, you know, as Trump continued to go on, it was just a matter of kind of setting him up to Zelensky him. But, you know, it's one of those things where we did exceedingly well. And for that, we saw where the pitfalls were and where the challenges were, and we didn't bite, right? So I think all good things, and for this, I'm going to make a bold statement. I think Pierre never becomes Prime Minister of Canada from that.
Pierre Poilievre?
That's correct.
So why are you saying that, James?
Because I tend to think that this relationship becomes foundational in how we move forward, right? Mm. And so for that, I think that Pierre just would never have that same whimsical charm that could be viewed in that same light. And therefore, you know, I think to the voters' minds in Ontario and for those who elected this prime minister, it will be a validation of what they were hoping for.
Interesting and bold prediction. Because I think Pierre, absolutely. I mean, it would have been different, no doubt about it, if Pierre Poilievre was sitting in the chair. But Pierre Poilievre is quick and witty, and he too can, you know, plan in a way and strategize in a way. His attack tactics or his theory on how he would approach it likely would be a little different than Mark Carney's. But I think absolutely Pierre Poilievre would have been able to have a successful meeting. You know, it kind of reminds me, and James was kind of alluding to this. I mean, Mark Carney won by not losing. That was said, if you remember, during Mark Carney's debate performance. We had many people, including John Gormley, who, when we had our panel on after the debate, said, you know, sometimes you can win by not losing. And that's what happened in the debate for Mark Carney. Many people think that's what happened here. Now, many people are on the other side of this and say, absolutely not. It was a missed opportunity. Didn't go very well. Mark Carney didn't hit the marks that he should have. And I would like to hear from you as well. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Jerry in Regina. Jerry, your thoughts on that meeting yesterday between Canada and the U.S. leaders?
Well, let me preface with the fact I'm on Team Trump.
Yeah.
And we were very clear on that. And he exposed those three losers for what they are. They sat there for 29 minutes while he talked, and he eviscerated them on woke progressive politics. They said nothing. He insulted Chrystia Freeland, and he said nothing. He insulted Trudeau. He said nothing. And here's how it's going to go. Mark Carney is going to give Donald Trump everything that he wants, as he should, because Canada's been a freeloading nation for about 70 years. And if he doesn't do it, he's got two choices. And you were in law enforcement. He can go and have the IRS stand outside his head office in New York and see who's funding him. The second thing they do, probably behind closed doors, is he had an FBI file on him 4 inches thick from his dealings on Epstein Island. So if he did very well in those debates, it's because the mainstream media and Pierre Poilievre, he's sitting exactly where he should be because they didn't expose any of this. But Donald Trump did. And how it's going to play out is, no, he doesn't need anything from Canada because he can go into business with Russia.
Interesting. So we've had two very different views of the meeting yesterday. And that's the thing about this is we all will have our own observations from it. And I would love to hear what yours are. 1-877-332-8255. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Go to the text line. I've still got some people on the phone lines. Give us a call. Let us know your thoughts on how Carney did against Donald Trump yesterday at the White House. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
He's headed down to Knoxville with a weekly load. You can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
Hey, Wanda in Saskatoon, thanks for your text. She says, Evan, I was hoping for a Love Actually moment, too. That clip popped into my mind instantly, the clip where Hugh Grant, as the British Prime Minister, stands up to U.S. President Billy Bob Thornton and basically says, we're charting the course for a new relationship where we prioritized what Britain needs and enough of the U.S. taking advantage of us. And, you know, it was that typical triumphant movie moment that had people clapping and cheering. God, I would have loved to have seen that yesterday. We didn't, but we saw... You know, maybe we saw a typical Canadian moment where it was softer and more respectful and a gentle pushback. There's no doubt that was part of the strategy. When they went in, they prepped Mark Carney for sure. Here's how you should react to the 51st state comment. Here's how you should react to tariffs on autos. Here's how you should, right? I mean, there was a lot of role playing prior to that to have him ready. What sometimes is hard to manufacture, if you will, is how your body reacts. Those involuntary reactions, the statements that are made, because, man, I was howling a couple of times. Mark Carney could just see he was uncomfortable. And a couple of times he wanted to talk, but in true Trump fashion, he he just kept talking and wouldn't let him talk. I've seen a few people on the text line this morning saying, you know, if Carney really wanted to put his elbows up, he would have just jumped in and said, excuse me, Mr. President, but I got to say something to that. He would have actually interjected in a way that was more forceful. What do you think? 1-877-332-8255. Hey, I knew I'd hear from Cal today. Cal and Oxbow. Thanks for calling in, Cal. What did you think of that yesterday?
Well, good morning, Evan. I always wonder what Eastern Canadians are thinking when their Trump derangement syndrome is so strong, and then Carney goes in and kisses up to Trump in his very first opening sentences. I always wonder how they react to that. Mm-hmm. And I see it the same as the other Trump caller is, and I really felt that for the most part, Trump was trolling him a lot and really sort of fleshing it out, trying to be nice, but not really. And also, if people know this, like Sean Hannity and Matt Boyle, who both have Trump's ear, who are on the radio in the U.S. on a Sirius satellite, they are really hard on Carney about, you know, him being a climate zealot and his role in the lockdowns and how he wanted to shut down bank accounts and go after American corporations. So you can bet that those things have been said to Trump. And so when he's interested in all the things that Carney has to say, he really wants to sort of flesh out what this guy is about and where he's going to go and what he believes in.
Do you like the approach that Mark Carney took, though, Cal, off the start? Like he complimented him, right? He said, you're a transformational president focused on the economy, relentless focus on the American worker. Did you think that was the right approach?
Well, that part I would agree with. I'm sure that he was coached, and I agree with sort of your guest you had about how you deal with people like Trump in terms of trying to be complimentary and that sort of thing. But like I said, you know, if these people that voted for Carney because they wanted him to stand up to him, it seems like it's quite the opposite of standing up to him.
Yeah, I get where you're going. Hey, always appreciate you joining the conversation, Cal. Thanks for your call. I'd like to hear from you. 1-877-332-8255. How did you think it went yesterday? Eli says the problem for Carney, they wouldn't let him speak, which turned out okay, I guess. Trump couldn't stop talking. We all know people like that. Eli, thanks for the text. I feel like that was part of the strategy for Carney. Maybe I'm wrong, but part of the strategy appeared to be when he goes off on a tangent, just let him go. Don't try and jump. I mean, we heard him talk everything about Houthis. We heard him talk about, did he try and say Ovechkin was Canadian? Or was he just trying to say, we have a good hockey player here
too? I love Canada. I have a lot of respect for the Canadians. Wayne Gretzky, I mean, how good, the great one. You happen to have a very, very good hockey player right here on the Capitals, who I have a lot of respect. He is a big, tough cookie, too. He just broke the record, and he's a great guy. And, you know, we had the team here, and I got to know a lot of the players. But
he's a tough cookie. But he said, you have a great player. So I don't know if he meant you as in Canadians or you as in people in Washington saying, you know, yeah, Gretzky is a great hockey player and he's Canadian, but you've got a great one here too in Washington, because I mean, obviously Ovechkin's Russian. So you can go down, you could do a deep dive down the wormhole of, was there some subliminal messaging there or not as well? Okay. 1-877-332-8255. Phone and text lines are open. The texts are not trickling. They're not running. They are pouring in this morning. I'm going to go to more texts when we come back, and feel free to give us a call. Join the conversation. How did Mark Carney do? Did he hit the mark? Did he find the sweet spot? Did he miss an opportunity? Your thoughts continue here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
But in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for joining the show, Evan Bray. And I am, you know, gosh, every day I am very thankful and appreciative of the thoughtful conversations that you and I can have. Some of these text messages are, to me, just concise, thoughtful, appropriate to the conversation. So the conversation we're having is essentially, how did it go yesterday in your mind between Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney and U.S. President Donald Trump? I said it right off the start. I'm going to say it again. I I thought it went fairly well. Generally speaking, Mark Carney didn't get a lot of time to speak, but when he did, he softly pushed back. Maybe softly is not even the right word. I mean, he said Canada's not for sale. He said that quite openly. I did notice a lot of people on the text line are saying, he said, I spoke to the owners of Canada during the election campaign, and people are saying, who is he referring to there? I don't take that as nefarious. That is him saying, I spoke to the Canadian people. You and I, you live in Canada, you're part of the owners of Canada. I think that's what he's saying. Some people are saying it's about, you know, the elitists. I don't think that's what he meant, but I could be wrong. Here's a text from Bryn. So you remember off the start, James called in. James said, he talked about he thought Mark Carney did a good job, and he says, I'm going to make a bold prediction. I don't think Pierre Poilievre will ever be the Prime Minister of Canada based on the performance yesterday. Bryn is saying, whoa, 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 James. It's way too early to make any conclusions about what Mark Carney's legacy will be and whether Pierre Poilievre will ever be Prime Minister. The meeting yesterday was all surface level. It would have been equally cordial with Pierre and Trump, and Trump would have been just as positive towards him. Bryn goes on to say, I think the rubber will meet the road when we find out, will Carney back off on banning gas vehicles? Will he actually get back to being tougher on crime? Will he build new homes, get gas prices down, et cetera, et cetera? If yes, then he'll have taken all of the air out of the Conservatives' tires. But if he's more like Trudeau at his heart and he starts to plow ahead with policies that Canadians hate, people will be mad again. So thanks, Bryn, for weighing in on the conversation and your thoughts on this. 1-877-332-8255. Ralph in Prince Albert. Good morning, Evan. I thought it went well, but I wish when Trump said he doesn't need anything from Canada, the Prime Minister would have said that he needs everything that Canada has. So don't say you don't. Ralph and Prince Albert basically wanting to see a little more force out of the Prime Minister. Let's go to the phone line, 1-877-332-8255. I'm going to start with Jim in Regina Beach. Jim, what did you take away from that meeting yesterday?
Well, I listened to the whole thing yesterday morning in my truck, Evan, and I have to say that I would agree with your first caller with respect to how I thought that Mark Carney handled himself as a senior statesman, and I thought it was very telling that Trump admitted to have watched the Canadian National Leaders debate and whatnot, probably realizing at that point that he was outmatched in terms of intelligence and whatnot. Would also agree with his statement with respect to having all of the toys, and someone mentioned about being a petulant child, and that's definitely the way that he behaved yesterday. The last thing I'll say too is I think he has some concern about him visiting Canada next month in June when the leaders matter, international leaders meet in Canada. So he's no fool, but he definitely acted very immature yesterday. And as I say, didn't allow Mark Carney to get a word in edgewise.
Which I think a lot of people will say is not super surprising. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the G7 summit in Kananaskis coming up in June will be interesting to see. I guess how present, how big is the presence of Donald Trump in that meeting? Not just his physical presence, but how much does that take over the direction of the agenda and things like that? Because I'm going to go back to Bryn's text. We haven't got into the nuts and bolts of a lot of this. This was yesterday was pleasantries at best, maybe pushing back on a couple of the big speaking points that Donald Trump has been laying out. Let's go to Kevin. Lorelei, Saskatchewan is the destination. Kevin, thanks for joining us. Your thoughts on the conversation that we saw unfold yesterday?
Well, first of all, I love your Love Actually reference. I hadn't thought of that, but it's right on.
It is true, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it is. And there were a lot of parallels. Just a really quick comment, first of all. I mean, for those who are saying that somehow his comment about the owners of Canada was addressing the elitists, I think, frankly, that's just silly. He was clearly talking about the voters, and I thought it was a really good point that he made. I thought he hit the sweet spot. You've talked about that. Part of me says I wish he would have been tougher and pushed back, but you know, the reality is he's a guest in the White House. Trump is a bully. And to me, he hit that sweet spot right on where he said what he had to say and Trump heard it and we saw it. And with respect to the body language, I'm glad that you could see those signals in the body language. Because right. If he had been absolutely neutral and hadn't shown anything, then we'd be saying now that he was acquiescing. when his body language, when he squirmed a bit and he shook his head and he said, no, no, that's not right, he looked uncomfortable, that was a message that he disagreed with what Trump was saying. And I thought that was important as well.
Yeah, it's, you're right. The body language was noticeable. In fact, if you caught the media scrum that happened after the day was over. So Mark Carney comes up the steps, they have a podium set up there, and the media is wanting to know, okay, you've had the Oval Office meeting, you had the lunch meeting, how did it go? One reporter called him out on his poker face.
I was watching your face through the meeting in the Oval Office, and I wondered what was going through your mind when the president talked about re-erasing the artificial border and how he criticized your predecessor and Madam Freeland.
Well, thank you for, I guess, for your question. I'm glad that you couldn't tell what was going through my mind.
I don't know if you can hear her in the background. She's like, oh, no, I could, she says. She could tell. I'm not sure he had the best poker face. But, you know, to Kevin's point, maybe it was a way of speaking to us without speaking to us on his thoughts on what the president was saying. 1-877-332-8255. Did it go well? Did it not go well? What do you think? Was the tone set? Let's go to Saskatoon. I want to take Ken's call. Ken, thanks for calling in. How do you think Carney did yesterday with Trump?
About as best, as good as he could possibly have looked for. I mean, what else are you expecting? I would like to point out that it used to be said that the most dangerous place in the world was between a politician and a camera. But now it's between the media and a panic button. Uh-huh. Everything is turned up to 11. This could have been taken care of months and months ago with the reopening. What's going to happen is you're going to have the reopening of the USMCA, our trade agreement between the two, between us and Mexico and the United States. But if that had happened, if Trudeau had asked for that, then you wouldn't have had Carney is being the prime minister right now. But the other thing that you have to remember is, what is an economy for? If an economy is intended to get the lowest price on every good, then that's what globalization does. If an economy is supposed to provide you with a very good quality of life, with jobs, with investment, well, that's really what is being redone here. The reason that this is a huge transition in the way that economies are run across the world.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like your points are well taken on the economy, which clearly both of those guys are interested in, whether they take the same approach. But do you think, Ken, that what we saw yesterday is a step towards successfully renegotiating CUSMA?
You know, it's one of these things that you say, what leverage does Canada have? Mm. And we have a lot less leverage than you think we do, because the Canadian economy and American economy are actually more alike. So we are more competitors with the United States in so many ways, whereas the Mexican economy and the United States are more complementary. And you have to remember, not only does the Trump just sign an agreement with Ukraine for that critical minerals, but what didn't hit the media is that Congo has come to the United States and said, oh, can we get that same kind of Ukrainian deal that really upset everybody? Yeah, we'd like that too. Mm-hmm. So Canada doesn't have the leverage we think we do. And the people that do have the leverage, oh, that's Western Canada, the productive part of Canada.
Interesting. I was saying yesterday, I was hoping that critical minerals, I mean, I realize the talks aren't over yet, but I was hoping that doesn't come into the conversation, and somehow Donald Trump thinks he can get his paws on our minerals. 1-877-332-8255. People on the text line, Jace talking about the, I like the way he said, I talked to the owners of Canada during the campaign. I will say, though, there are a number of people that didn't like that line and question who is he talking about, people not feeling he was talking about everyday Canadians in that. Okay, let's take one more break here. We're going to take open calls and texts right until the top of the hour, but let's take a break. We'll come back. I still got some people on the phone line. Lots of texts to get to as well. Your thoughts. How did Mark Carney do? What grade are you giving him on that meeting yesterday with Donald Trump? More when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. 1-877-332-8255. That is the number, and we're looking for your review of yesterday's meeting between Mark Carney and Donald Trump. Peter says Mark missed the mark and got trumped by Trump. Some creative text this morning. Cameron in Regina says, look, if this is going on a report card, an elementary teacher would say, Mark is an intelligent boy who is polite and behaves in class. He needs to be much more assertive and needs to participate more. That's the report card. That's the report card comment section that Cameron from Regina is adding for Mark Carney's performance. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Perry in Osler. Perry, what do you think? How did the meeting go yesterday?
It went well. Trump got his message across. His message was the trade deals since the mid-1980s were horrible. We gave too much away to China, and when we make a trade deal, it's going to be the right one. And that's why I didn't even leave Mark Carney get a word in. And, he did a good job. He let us...
And when you say he, are you talking about Trump?
Trump.
Yeah.
And he let us know that Americans love Canada, and Canada, for some reason, doesn't want to love the United States back. That's his marketing skills. He's kind of wondering why. And the other thing is he put across the point, he went on to talking about Obama. Well, why would he do that? Pointed out how Obama's trying to build a library. He can't do it because he doesn't know what he's doing. And it's overrun 30 times already of the original estimate, and it's a mess. The building's probably going to get rejected because the DEI hires going woke.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making an analogy. All the politicians, it didn't matter if you were a Republican, Democrat, a conservative, or a liberal. It was Brian Mulroney and George W. Bush that made this horrible deal and sold us out to China. And so the point is, Trump's going is, well, it's up to you. Do you want to sell out to China or do you want to work with us?
Okay, well, there's a few people this morning that are on Team Trump, which I'm not necessarily shocked and surprised to hear. And then there's a few people that are firmly on Team Canada, but still not saying Mark Carney did exactly what he needed to do. Where are you at, Glenn, from North Battleford, on Mark Carney's performance yesterday?
It's an F. He had the opportunity to show that he could speak very forcefully and firmly and respond to Trump, but he just sat there and listened. He didn't really do much other than say, well, Canada's not for sale.
Mm-hmm.
But when his own minister, Freeland, gets hammered and she's not a nice person, I mean, is she going to get dropped from cabinet? This is the mother of his godson.
There's a few people pointing that out on the text line, Glenn, interesting that he didn't. I'm guessing that was a strategic decision on his part. I know people are critical that would have been a perfect opportunity for him to step in and object to what he was hearing President Trump say. Jim in Saskatoon, your take on how Mark Carney did with Trump yesterday?
I didn't get to watch the interview. I watched the highlights on social media, and I saw a bunch of it. But I'm upset that he didn't push back against Trump when Trump made the comment that there is nothing that he needs from Canada. He doesn't need steel. He doesn't need cars. He doesn't need anything yet. And then, when he has a $200 billion trade deficit, and Mark Carney could not even remotely try to push back that 60% of the oil that goes into the United States comes from Canada.
Right. He did say, Jim, he did throw out that we are their biggest customer. Mark Carney did say that to them. He didn't get into specifics, you're right, about oil and the trade deficit, but I think that was a gentle pushback, if you will.
And then the other one was the trade deficit, that there isn't a trade deficit if you put oil into it. The U.S. right now, if you follow the oil, and you'll talk to Brian Zinchuk on the first Wednesday of every month.
Today, actually,
He's going to tell you that U.S. oil production is down. It's dropping. They're cutting on their rigs. There's announcements been all over this week that everybody's going to cut back. The Permian Basin is drying up, and he needs Canadian oil, whether he likes it or not. He needs the oil sands oil, because you don't have to go searching for it. It's there. All you have to do is extract it. And MEG Energy, even this morning, with prices down, announced their massive profits in the first quarter of 2025.
Your point on him needing oil is bang on, Jim. That is value add for the states. They make money on our oil. They buy it at a reduced cost and then value add, process it, refine it, and sell it for billions of dollars. So it's, you know, the fact that he doesn't get called on his $200 billion trade deficit, which he continually brings up. But yeah, it's at some point, I would hope someone's going to challenge him on those numbers, but it didn't happen yesterday anyway in the conversation that rolled out at the White House. Appreciate everyone weighing in on this. This won't be the last time that we've talked about it, but I wanted to create some space for us to have the conversation. And we got our last caller there. Jim did a little bit of a plug for my next guest, Brian Zinchuk, coming up, his monthly business. Brian Zinchuk, pipelineonline.ca, coming up next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.